Okay. Thank you very much for that lovely introduction, and thank you for having me and for having Stern College. And let's learn. The topic for tonight is, it doesn't really need a major hekshere, it doesn't need a major context. It's a topic which could be discussed at any time. It's a topic, the issue, as you can see very quickly from the Maor HaMakomos perhaps, is the issue of honoring grandparents in a halachic sense. Obviously, of course you honor your grandparents. Why wouldn't we honor our grandparents? But the question is, what is the halachic valence? What's the halachic requirement? And I don't mean so much the pratim about standing up and getting water and so on and so forth, but is there a particular requirement to honor grandparents? Obviously, grandparents are beyond me because they're above a certain age, right? Standing up for somebody who's above the age of 60, 70, there are all kinds of shiurim and halachot here, so that would certainly apply, and I should probably start backwards by saying the Aruch HaShulchan points out that whatever, wherever our discussion will lead, of course you have to honor your grandparents, but we want to talk about, from a technical sense, where does this requirement come from? And that's really one of the most interesting questions here, as we'll see. Again, the, you know, Heksher Mikrai, if we have to relate it to the parsha, we certainly can. Binareinu bizkeinenu neleich. When Yaakov's progeny are mentioned already, we've been hearing about them at the end of Bereishis, beginning of Shmos. The role of grandchildren, grandparents, comes into play very, very much, not just in terms of Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, but in terms of the specific family as well. But let's get right to it. And one of the most interesting problems or issues with this discussion is, where do we find sort of the earliest discussion or the earliest explicit and somewhat extensive discussion of honoring grandparents? Where would you expect it to be? Yeah, if not in the Torah itself, you'd expect it to be in Torah Shebaal Peh, you'd expect it to be a Gemara somewhere, you'd expect it to be a Chazal. And the fact is that there's relatively little discussion of this issue, certainly no very lasting and very explicit discussion, although we'll see, of course, once we get into it, all kinds of sort of what I'll call almost remazim, not in the silly sense, but sort of hooks on which to hang the various positions are found, but that's the point, you have to go looking around for hooks. So before we even have a discussion, what does that mean? In fact, well, let me give you some facts here. The earliest discussion really is two things here, the top two Maor HaMakomos on the page. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh Simin Reish Mem, after the Mechaber writes, Chayev Adam Lechabed Chamov, a person must honor, and again, most of this discussion is going to be he or she, a person must honor his, her, father-in-law, mother-in-law, in-laws. Right. It's very interesting, if you look at the Taz, who's at the bottom there in Sifkat and Yotes, the Taz says, and it's based on the fact that David and Shaul and David were father-in-law, son-in-law, there's a chiyuv to have respect in that respect, and Taz here says, and I learned that it's very important to honor your mother-in-law as well, and it applies equally, and I learned that from the Bach, who was his father-in-law. Anyway, so that's just an interesting little tidbit, but it's certainly the true halacha. So that's really, if you look at the Ramah now, the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, see the little letters, De'ein Adam Chayav B'chvod Avi Aviv, the Ma'arik, Ma'arik is a very important late Rishon, some hold that there is no formal or special requirement, other than, again, honoring elderly people and so on, to show Kvod Savim B'Savot. Wow! And the Ramah says, Ve'o Nireli, I don't think so. I don't agree. Ela de chayav bichvod aviv yoter mikvod avi aviv. He says, here's the way the halacha puts it. You certainly must honor grandparents, but you must honor parents more. So the parents were the top of the so-called, funny expression, halachic totem pole here. I can get in trouble that way, but it's on the tape. But, oh boy, chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtovim. But, that's what he says. So it's a machlokes, the Maharik and the Ramah, just to get our history straight here. The Maharik is a very important late Rishon, lives in Italy in the 15th century. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Islis, I assume you know a little bit, right? Lives in Poland, in Eastern Europe, dies 1573, Liminyanam Dachzichmir, right? So the first sort of open discussion, and on your left here you have the Tshuvas Maharik, and we'll talk about it a little bit, the first explicit open discussion of honoring grandparents is held here. Between this late Rishon and that early Achron. Does that say anything to our topic? What does that tell us? Does that sort of absence of discussion mean anything positive or negative? I don't mean to put a valence on it. What does that suggest to you? That therefore honoring grandparents is obviously this way or that way. Two ways to go here. Follow what I'm talking about? No? Yes? Either it means that honoring grandparents is sort of so obvious as a chiyuv that it was assumed that there's a chiyuv to honor them. Right? Normally when we make an argument, when we try to prove something, an argument from silence is called as always the weakest argument, right? How do I know that I can do something? It doesn't say that you can't. That kind of argument in terms of logic is usually a weak argument. But in terms of Torah, in terms of halacha, that might be a much stronger argument, right? The fact that we don't have explicit gemaras, right? Well, how do we find these truths to be self-evident? If there's a chiyuv to honor parents, for states if there's a chiyuv to honor grandparents, that's one possibility, right? That may be what the Ramah is saying. And what's the Ma'arik saying? There is no such chiyuv. In other words, you can't make suppositions here. If we don't have a gemara telling us, and it's very important, I think we'll see what the gemaras do tell us, if we don't have a gemara which speaks specifically about the chiyuv of honoring grandparents, and kanireh, there isn't a special chiyuv. Right? So that's already an interesting part of the discussion. And it's not so common. You know, modern problems you don't find until you get to modern poskim. Interestingly, I mean, there is one other possibility here, which is not so much of a lumdisha possibility, more just sort of a seichel possibility. Although here, too, until very recently, and we're very fortunate, those of us who are grandparents and who have grandparents, Baruch Hashem, and so on, there may not have been so many grandparents for a long time in Jewish history. However, since the Torah talks about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Imahot as well, a grandparents isn't a relatively new invention. So it is possible that the Rishonim don't talk about it because longevity at a certain point in the world, you know, after the flood and after the Avos, right, wasn't so long. But that's sort of more of a common sense kind of a discussion. I'm not sure that really has a place in a halachic discussion. But in any case, we have the Ramah and we have the Ma'arik. And again, the Ma'arik says, show me the Chiyuv. And the Ramah says, of course there's a chiyuv, right? If you go back to the Ramah, where does the Ramah get the chiyuv from? So again, it's a hook. He hangs the chiyuv on a medrash hook. That's a good hook on which to hang a halach chiyuv. Well, that's interesting. V'raya mi midrash. Do you see that at the end of the Ramah in the parentheses? V'raya mi midrash gabi v'yizbach zevachim. This is a pretty good proof that you have to honor grandparents from the pasuk v'yizbach zevachim. Does that pasuk mean anything to any of you here? It's a pasuk. Every pasuk should be well known. That's a pasuk in Chumash, right? Anybody remember a little bit? We read it not so long ago. Right? Yaakov, right? Yosef is found. Everything's going well. Vayizbach zvachim le'elokei aviv Yitzchok. Yes? He made korbanos to the God of his father Yitzchok. Right? So as I wrote for you a little bit below this in my saw on the right, it's in Parshas Vayigash, right? Basically, why the question is, why did Yaakov only give a korban to the God of Yitzchak? What about the God of his Zeta, Avraham, the same God? Why not mention the Zeta too? It's the end of Bereishis, it's the end of the story, it would be perfectly appropriate. And the answer is, as Rashi says, and Rashi indicates, based on the Medrash Rabbah that I quoted for you, that I presented here at the top, Rabbi Yochanan says, Chayav Oda Bechvod Oviv, Yosef Mechvod Zekeino, that this pasuk tells you, you have to give your father even greater kovod, which is what the Ramah said. But it's clear we find these truths to be self-evident that you also have to give kavod to your Zeta. So to show that he's giving his father more kavod, Yaakov limited his sort of description of the korban, right, his identification, the father to the God of his father and not to the God of his grandfather. But again, that's only to tell you that the father has a higher level of kavod. Right? It's a medrash, it's a Rashi. Interestingly, do you learn halachas from medrash and from Rashi? Kani Resha Kane, right? We don't always think about it that way, but Kani Resha Kane, right? Interestingly, if you look at the little, if you look at the Taz again at the bottom, he says, right, Bichor Aviv Yoser, Kane Pirish Rashi Bichumash Vayizbach Zelachim Lokei Aviv Yitzchak, Vetema Aldea Harishona Shu Marik, Denela Mimenu Perish Rashi. He's already attacking the opinion, there's no cover to Marik, because doesn't he know Rashi HaChumash? And then the Kudas HaKesa here, which I cut off, talks about why some Achronim quote the Pasuk, some Achronim quote the Rashi, quote the Medrash, some Achronim quote the Rashi, but it's the same thing. Right? Okay. Again, from that Pasuk, as Rabbi Yochanan had to indicate, it's a very hard Pasuk. You have to darshan, you have to learn out that's a chiyuv to honor grandparents. But again, the assumption is there's certainly a chiyuv there. We need a hook on which to hang it. And what will the Ma'arik say back? speaking for the Ma'arik, he would do a better job, right? Okay, there's a Rashi on Chumash, that's Pshat and Chumash, that's very good, that does not a full halachic chiyuv make. Right? That's not how you make full halachic chiyuv. Again, is it a nice idea? It's a beautiful idea. Is it a chiyuv? Not quite. And if you look at the Ma'arik now, and it's interesting, there were two different Mar Makomos that were mentioned here in the Achronim, two different editions of the Ma'arik, Shorash Lamed or Shorash Mem Dalet. In any case, that's what we have in front of us. If you look in some of the better editions of Shuvas Ma'arik, it says Shayach la Harav Yitzchak Me'igra, that in fact this wasn't the Tshuva Ma'arik himself, but from one of his not so well known colleagues, a very Choshev Talmud Chochem and a Godel, but not from the Ma'arik himself. Interesting discussion. What was the discussion about there, though? It's a question about saying Kaddish. A problem that unfortunately we always face. Unfortunately, felt nine Avelim. There's a problem with the world, right? Right? Kohelis and everybody else tells us that problem, right? People saying Kaddish and they're having an argument. Who should take the Yomer? Who should say the Kaddish? Different kinds of minhagim. So the question is, if somebody's saying Kaddish for his grandparents, his grandfather, does he have the same standing, or what is his standing vis-a-vis somebody, Rachman Litzlan, saying Kaddish for his father? So the Maharik, or Rabbi Yitzchak Igra in this tshuva, says, frankly, the one saying Kaddish for the father has a chiyuv, and saying Kaddish for the grandfather, he doesn't say it's a bad thing, God forbid, but that's not a very, very firm chiyuv. Right? As he says in line 4 and 5 of this tshuva, Lefi hanir aniyas daiti, ein leben haben lomar Kaddish b'shvil zekeinu yosemei odom acher. Grandchild has no chiyuv to say Kaddish for his grandfather more than anyone else. And as if nobody's saying Kaddish for a Jewish person, somebody should say Kaddish. That's proper. But the grandson has no particularly strong chiyuv, right? Why? He has a justification. Right? Saying Kaddish, why do we say Kaddish? Obviously to sanctify God. But why does a child say Kaddish for a parent? That's a function of kibud of the aim. To tell you that kibud ove aim is so strong that there's even a kiyum and a chiyuv of kibud ove aim when the parent is Rachman Litzlan no longer alive, right? So that kind of chiyuv is only for a child; it doesn't extend to a grandchild at all, right? And a few lines down further, he says, "Nireshe ben haben she'ein chayiv bechvod zekeino." He says, since a grandchild. And here's where we get into the heat of the meat and heat of the matter. Since the grandchild has no chiyuv to honor his zeda, shaharei lo matzinu formally, shaharei lo matzinu b'shum makom sheyischayv ele b'chvod ha'ava ha'aim. And now he quotes a gemara. The fact is, there is a gemara about not only honoring parents, because that's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a gemara that you may know. It's a gemara k'suba staf kuf gimel amud aleph. The gemara says what? That not only must you honor your parents, kabeid es avicha ve'es imecha, but, folks, what else do we learn out from there? Who else must you honor? Oh, lots of people, or at least a few people, and why do you learn it after this pasuk? What's the problem? It's a beautiful pasuk, kabeid es avicha, no problem. What's the issue of the pasuk, kabeid es avicha ve'es imecha? There are two extra s's, and there's a vav, kabeid es avicha ve'es imecha. Those are ribuyim. Who does the Gemara put into those ribuyim? Who does the Gemara say is now included, is extended? So look what he says. The Ma'arik, he's quoting the Gemara. He says, "Ela bechvod ha'av veha'aim, ve'eshes aviv bechayov, u'ba'al imo bechayeha." You must honor your parents. That's obvious in the pasuk itself. The ribuyim teach that if you have a father who has remarried, the children of that father must honor the current wife as long as their father is alive. Doesn't mean that after the father dies, they tell her to get lost, God forbid, but the chiyuv is on as long as the father is alive, right? And, you know, the opposite. A mother who remarries, right, the husband of the mother must be honored by her children as long as she is alive. And who else is included? Somebody said it. The achiv ha-gadol. Now, is this only an older brother? Is it only the oldest brother? Is it also older sisters? Is it multiple? The answer is yes. Look in the poskim. There's discussion. How far does it extend? But it extends to at least the oldest of the siblings, certainly the male siblings, but again, many poskim will extend it to others as well, you know, within the siblings. Okay, so that's what's learned out. He quotes the Gemara. So the Marik's argument is actually stronger than I told you it was. Namely, it's not just that there's not an explicit Gemara to mandate honoring grandparents, but what? The Gemara, which extends the honoring of parents, extends it to spouses of the parents, extends it to older siblings, but the Gemara has every chance to say what? Saba Safta! Right? Throw them into the pasuk. A lot of hooks to hang on that pasuk. And the Gemara doesn't say it. Again, in terms of Gemara, that's stronger than an argument from silence. The Gemara had a shot here to mention grandparents. It doesn't. Again, the argument against would be, right? It's fairly obvious that grandparents have to be honored. The psukim were saved for those that might be a little bit less obvious. How do we know it's obvious? Well, look at the Rashi, look at the Medrash, right? It's on the tape, but I'll say it anyway. In the 1960s, and again, any of you who are into karate, I'm not talking about this to be negative on that. The Rav Soloveitchik, I didn't learn with him in the 60s. I learned with him in the late Middle Ages, but that was after the 60s. Anyway, so I didn't see this story. I learned with him in the 70s, but this story allegedly occurred. So some of the fellows who were big into the karate came to the Rav, and they asked him, Rebbe, before the karate match, you know, before whatever they do, there's a little bowing that goes on. You know, there's a little bit of a part of the system, right? And they asked the Rav if that bowing is mutter. So the Rav said, no, it's usser. Can't bow. So they asked him, why, Rebbe? Why is it usser? Is it usser because of Avodah Zarah? Is it usser because of Chukas HaGoyim? You know, they try to come up with the reasons. The Rav goes, no. Said, oh, Rebbe, so why is it usser? And the Rav, who had a very good sense of humor and a very good sense of people, put a little smile on his face. He said, and again, don't take this personally if you do karate, it's usser because it's stupid. Anything which is stupid is usser. You know, it's like silly. So why would, you know, if it's silly, it's usser, right? This is the reverse, right? If it's something that makes sense, it's something you should do. Now, we don't paskin shilas that way. We don't make halacha that way. But again, honoring grandparents, if it's mutter, so you should do it. You know, if it's proper, so you should do it. Right? So, but the Marik says, show me the Gemara. The Gemara talks about extensions, doesn't include the grandparents. Right? And he goes on about this Kaddish issue. Now, if you go back to the Shulchan Aruch, it's interesting. No less a figure than the Vilna Gaon tries to bring Raya's to the Maharik's approach that there's no chiyuv to honor grandparents, right? And it's interesting, the Vilna Gaon quite purposely, and as is his wont, brings proofs from various Rashi's, not Rashi on Chumash, but Rashi in other places. Now, you know, Rashi contradicting himself, as we'll see in a moment, I'll ask you why, is not such a big problem. Rashi contradicting himself is not as bad as the Rambam contradicting himself. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Right? If the Rambam contradicts himself in Mishnah Torah, or seems to, what do we have to do? Work it out. Call the Rav, call somebody, call your Rebbeim immediately and your teachers, and start working. If you find a contradiction between Rashi in this Gemara and in that Gemara, or a contradiction between Rashi on this Pasuk Chumash and Rashi somewhere else, why is that not a burning problem? As opposed to the Rambam, where it is a burning problem. This is a methodological question that has, well, something to do with the Shia, but little to do with the Shia, mostly to do with good thinking in Rishonim. So just think for a second. How, if Rambam Mishnah Torah Hilchus X says one thing, and in another halacha he seems to say something different, and again, not an obvious kind of a slip-up, but it would seem that according to his principles, he should go the other way, you have to work on resolving those theories. If Rashi on Chumash says one thing, and Rashi in a particular sugi in Gemara says something else, or even in two different sugis in Gemara, why are we not panic-stricken? Why do we not have to call the greatest Lamdanim to try to be Miyasha the Stira? People try it, but why don't we have to? Yeah?
Rambam's more, he's like kind of telling us what to do and giving his...
Okay, so part of it is that Rambam is a sefer halacha, Mishnah Torah is a sefer halacha at the end of the day. Again, whether we can and should learn halachas from Rashi, nothing wrong with that, but Rashi is not giving us piskei halacha. That's part of it, and it's even stronger than that. You're on the right track. Right? You're on the right track, but it's even stronger than that. But that's a very good point. Good. I come here to hear good points. Please, yes.
A lot of times,
okay. Now I'm going to put the two of you together. The Rambam is paskening halacha. Rashi is fundamentally what we call, I mean this in a fancy technical sense, Rashi is fundamentally a parshan. He's explaining you through the psukim, through the gemaras. Why will Rashi explain one gemara that way and another gemara somewhat differently sometimes? Because he's trying to give you a perush that will get you through that gemara. He's not worried about what you'll then do later in terms of harmonizing those gemaras. First of all, you learn Tosfos, you learn other things. He lives before Tosfos, but he understood, right? So Rashi is a parshan. When you're a parshan, it's your point and your point together. The burning halacha is not the same, right? If Rambam is Soser himself, we have a halachic problem. But it's also the fact that Rambam is the architect. He is the writer of the entire Mishnah Torah, and Rambam is nothing if not systematic and coordinated. Rashi is explaining Chumash, Tanakh, Sugi A, Sugi B, Gemara X, Gemara Y, and there may be different ways to explain those sugyas, right? And so Stiras and Rashi are not true. I'll give you a simple example. It's, well, not coming up so quickly because we have a Shana Mu'beret, but it's coming quickly enough, right? We're in Chodesh Shvat, so we can, well, we're coming right to Chodesh Shvat very soon, so we can start thinking about Purim. You may know that Rashi and Tosfos argue about why women, the Gemara says the women are obligated in Mikra Megillah, just as they're obligated in Arba Kosos, obligated in Eros Chanukah, Afein Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. Major machlokas between Rashi and the Balei HaTosfos, why? They were part of the miracle. So Rashi and Rambam and others have this beautiful theory. It's Esther in Purim, it's Yehudis in Hanukkah, it's Nashim Tzidkonios. Women had an active role, even though these are mitzvah seishas man grama, women have to do it because women, this is just a commercial, but it's a good commercial, women have to perform these mitzvahs that commemorate the fact that they took these important roles. Tosfos, based on the language of the Gemara, thing says, Afein Hayu Bo'os Haneis doesn't mean that. It means that when Paro, even though men and women were treated a little bit differently, but when Paro wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he wanted to have the women in trouble too, right? When Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he didn't say only the men, right? And when, at the time of Hanukkah, certainly not, the women were also equally included. So it's not that women had a leadership role, they did. But that's not the Mechayev. The Mechayev is that women were also part of the Gzeiro, so to speak, right? So Rashi says this, his pshat in a couple of places, really. Tosfos has theirs in a couple of places. You look at Megillah Daf Dalet, which is one of the places that's discussed in terms of Mikra and Megillah, and Rashi on that Daf says what? Just like Tosfos. Completely contradicting himself in Psachim Kufches and in other places as well. So what happened there? So you could try to get fancy and say, the copyist copied it funny, you know, the sky fell, the basement rose. That's not the answer. The answer is there's something about the sugya Megillah Daf Dalet which perhaps caused Rashi to learn the Gemara that way. So you can talk about it, and you can suggest things, but from Rashi, Stira Rashi, we don't get panic-stricken. Stira Rambam, time to call out Gedolei Yisrael to solve the problem. Okay, so the Gra is going to bring us a couple of Rashis, and we're going to look at them quickly, because the sugis are very involved, but we'll just mention them. The problem isn't so much that Rashi is Soser himself, the problem is that Rashi seems very content, based on these Gemaras, to say that there's no chiyuv to honor grandparents. Look at the Gra letters, Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet. He quotes a Gemara in Makos, where Rashi will say explicitly, as we'll see in a moment, that we're not going to learn the sugya too much, but I want to look at the Rashi, that there's a difference of parent and grandparents, and he quotes a Gemara in Sota Tess, where Rashi will similarly say explicitly, that sugya is a little easier to follow and very interesting sugya, we'll see that one, and he quotes also another Medrash. Let's start with that one. If you look to your right, the first Medrash Rabbah was the one that supported Rashi by his Bachas of Achim. In the very same Perek of the Medrash Rabbah, the Gra certainly intended this. There's another Medrash, right? The Pasuk says that Yosef, that Yaakov took his children, once he got promised that Yosef would take care of him, would bury him in Eretz Israel, he took his children, and Banavu Bnei Banav, his children, his grandchildren. So you might think it means all grandchildren, right? Grandchildren of his sons, grandchildren of his daughters. Says the Medrash, Benos Bonim Hare Hein Kibonim, Ubnei Bonos Einom Kibonim. Right? That something changes when you get to the grandparents level and grandchild level. There's a difference in this respect between children and grandchildren, and the Gra makes quite a big deal of that. But let's take a look. The Gemara in Makos I stuck in there towards the bottom on the right hand side. Just read the Rashi. It's a very difficult sugya. It's a sugya about a very improbable kind of circumstance. Somebody killed someone accidentally, and the Goel Hadam, the relative representing the dead victim, right, who can go after the Rotzeach unless he goes to the Yer Miklat, either is the son or the grandson of the one who's doing the killing. Very unusual case. So Rashi says it can't be the son, but it can be the grandson, right? And if you look at the very end of the Rashi, right, he says, "Goel hadam bivno shel haruka amar shehu ben bino shel rotzach ve'eino muzhar al kvodo." Why can the goel hadam be a grandchild? Because he doesn't have the chiyuv of kvod zekeino officially, right? He could, in theory, pursue and kill his grandfather if he doesn't meet the Yer Miklat criteria, right? That's pretty unusual. But Rashi says explicitly, the relationship of the son to the father is not at all the same. He could not be a Goel Hadam. You can't do that. It's not possible. Not at all the same relationship as the grandson to the grandfather. And Rashi says that even more clearly, or the Gemara says it even more clearly, in Sota Daf Mem Tes in the bottom left-hand side. Let's read this Gemara. It's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Fal Beib Rabbi Yaakov Bar Barte, he took care of his daughter's son, Yaakov, who apparently was a Talmud Chacham too. So when he was a little boy, apparently the father was not on the scene. And so the Zeta, for whatever reason, unfortunately, the Zeta took care of the grandchild. Ki Godal, when this grandchild grew up, Amale Ashkin Maya, he said, could you please give me a glass of water? Right? Classic. Parents ask for a glass of water. Child gives a glass of water. Great mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim. Can't say, I'll be back in an hour. You know, there's the thing on the refrigerator or whatever. Nope. Right? Amalo Lav Brichano. And this grandson gave him a lumdus. He said, you know why I'm not rushing to bring you the water? Or you know, or maybe he did bring the water. And as he's bringing the water, he says, but you should know, I'm not really chayav. Why? Because I'm not your child. I'm your grandchild. And so the Gemara has an expression here, behind the Damri Inshi, Rebbe, Rebbe, Bar Bar Tachano. Right? Rebbe, Rebbe, you're a great teacher, but I'm still not chayav to honor you as a grandchild, because there's no chayav on the grandchild here. Right? So whether he meant that, you know, well or not as well, right? Look what Rashi says. Rashi says, Rebbe, Rebbe, Gadel, Gadelosi, you're my, not just my Rebbe, you're my parent, you raised me. Va'afa pichein eini bincha, barbar techana, ve'in alai lechabedcha keben. Right? So whether it's the child or the maternal grandfather, as the Gra had it based on the Medrash, or whether it means in general, Rashi seems to be saying that what? It's nice that he brought him the glass of water. You know, that's the question. Did he tell him I don't have to and then he brought it or whatever? It's nice that he said what he said, except it shows that there's no such chiyuv. Right? So you've got a couple of Rashis that say there's no such chiyuv. You've got the Rashi on Chumash which says, seems to say, there is such a chiyuv. Right? So it's a very interesting kind of discussion. And now you know why the Ramah says, the Eino Nireli. I don't agree with the Marek. It doesn't seem to me to be correct. Because there's a lot of discussion here, right? And it's not a very, very clearly resolved issue. If you look in the Darchei Moshe, which is the Ramos Perish to the Tour, which he wrote before his Perish on Shulchan Aruch, he says it even more gently. He says about the Marik, Ktsas lo mashmakein. I think the Marik is not right. Right? By Medrash Vehevio Rashi, and he mentions the Rashi in Parash Vayigash that we read before. Alright? So, at the end of this, I don't know what inning we're up to, about the third inning, right? We're getting there. We're almost halfway through. Do some lumdus now. At the end of this part of the discussion, right, again, there are more paskins. Nonetheless, there is a chiyuv to honor grandparents. The Marik says, no such chiyuv, based on these makoros that we've seen. And there are some other makoros, but these are certainly the key makoros. The Pischei Tshuva, who's later, of course, in the Gra quotes them, and so on. Now let's talk at the lumdus for the two positions. So why the Ma'arik thinks that there's no chiyuv? He thinks there's no chiyuv, especially because when the Gemara Ksubas mentions Kabeidas Avicha Vesimecha, and it extends the chiyuv of parents, the grandparents are nowhere to be found. So unless you're going to take the position, you know, the funny story of the Rav backwards, that honoring grandparents is so obvious and so clear, and that's why the Chazal didn't darsh it out of Kabeidas Avicha Vesimecha, unless you're going to take that position, that's a, you know, pretty substantial proof for the Ma'arik. Nonetheless, the Ramah is probably assuming the other way. Of course you have to honor grandparents, and I'll show you the Rashi and Chumash, I'll show you the Medrash, so you can hang your hat on that. But so now the question is, what kind of a chiyuv is that? Right? So it turns out, according to the Ramah, that when the Gemara in Ksuba says, honor parents and their spouses, honor siblings, it certainly means that what? Grandparents are another friendly amendment. Seichel Ayosha. Now the question is, what kind of a friendly amendment? And let me ask you the question. Again, you got the case of the parent spouses. The father remarries. His spouse has to be honored by his children as long as he's alive. The mother remarried, same thing. The older siblings. Think about this, folks. Let me see if I'm not being too abstract here. If we presume like the Ramah, like this position, that there is a chiyuv to honor grandparents, right? What does that chiyuv be like? Is that like the spouse of the parents, or is that like the sibling? You follow what I'm asking? I'm asking it again in a very abstract way, right? Here we have the Gemara extending it explicitly in two different cases. Let's assume the grandparents are intended as well. Which category are they in and why? Do you have any sense of what I'm asking you? Right? Yes, no, shake your heads, no. Again, right? Well, let me ask you this question. If we have the two extensions in the Gemara, extended to spouses of parents, extended to siblings, are those the same? What's the reasoning here? Why are we honoring those people? I know it's a drush in the Chumash, but then the Gemara picks it up. But why are we honoring those people? Yeah.
So, I think that honoring grandparents would be on the same level as honoring the spouses of the parents, because the reason why you're honoring the spouses of the parents is in order, I guess, in an indirect way to honor the parents.
Good. So,
grandparents good, are the same.
Right. I don't take this away. Good that what you're saying, the point that you're making is a correct point. I'm not sure it's necessarily going to cover the grandparents according to everyone, but let's go on your main point. It's a good, correct point, right? We can say that why honoring parents is very big. Even the Ma'arik says, not only must you honor parents when they're alive, you must say Kaddish, you must honor parents even la'achar chayim, even when they're not alive. So that's the avi avos, that's the source of all kvod, rebeim too, but kvod, family kavod, it's the parents. Now you could say, why must I honor spouses of parents? Because when I honor the spouses of the parents, that's part of my honoring the parents, right? If the father or mother remarries, right, whatever the conditions are, right, to not honor their new spouses would be what? To dishonor the parents. So it's what we would call what? An extension or perhaps a derivative of kibud av v'em. That's why, by the way, when the parent dies, right, there's no chiyuv to honor those spouses any longer. Because, again, doesn't mean you kick them and smack them, God forbid, that's not proper behavior anytime, right? So, Pasuk Chumash, Rosh Olam Asakerecha, you have to be nice, right, for sure. But the chiyuv is paka. Why is the chiyuv paka? Why is the chiyuv off? Because the source of the chiyuv is off. So it's like the Levona, it's a radiation. I honor the parents, therefore I must reach that honor out to other important personnel. All right, so that's certainly true for the spouses of. Does everybody agree that's true for the older sibling as well? You follow what I'm asking? In other words, the honoring of older siblings, is that because it makes my parents happy, which I'm sure it does, when you're nice to your older siblings? Right? You know, I can make jokes. I'm out of time. I mean, my family's not here with me, so, you know, which that would be the case in all houses. It would be lovely, right? Right? So is that, again, an extension of parental honor? Is that a derivative, or what's the other possibility? Right? So I'll use a fancy term here, but we'll explain it. Maybe you'll say, when it comes to the spouses of, there's no doubt that it's an extension of honoring the parents. Without the parents, these new spouses, I don't mean are nothing, but there's no relationship there. But when it comes to an older sibling, maybe the reason they are to be honored is they're, let me say something silly and then I'll say something more profound, they're like little parents, right? We honor those who raise us, right? The fancy way to say it is, the older siblings could be in like loco parentis, right? That doesn't mean crazy parents, that means in the place of the parents, right? You know, you have an older sibling, when the parents are away, the older sibling is, good, the jokes are starting to get through, it means we're still awake. These are intentional, most of them, although the ones that are best are the ones that are unintentional, as you'll see. But anyway, I don't know what I'm going to say yet. Right? The older sibling is raising the kids. Some houses more than others. Right? And by the way, what would be the proof of that? Go ahead, ask me which one, ask me.
I said that would be a proof against, if you would go with that logic, that would be against the Gemara that talks about how because the grandfather raised him,
because that's a loco parentis Gemara, right? Except to say, again, from one case in the Gemara, you can't build the whole principle. right? Can't build the whole principle. Again, it's a question, is that a maternal grandparents issue? But very good point. That's a lovely point. Right? We'll see if we can get that back in there a little bit later. Right? What would be the difference? So in other words, it's at least possible, and you can maintain, you'll see, you're going to be right anyway. You can either say that what? Honoring siblings and honoring spouses of the parents is the same thing. It's all derivative from parents. And if the parents, you know, if not for the parents, they wouldn't be such a chiyuv. And that's why when the father or the mother pass away, God forbid, honoring the spouses technically falls off. Or you can say what? That spouses are derivative. Siblings, older siblings are what? What I'll call indigenous, right? They're something, they're parents too, in a sense. Right? They're parents too, in a sense. Right? What would be the nafka minhag in halacha? What would be the nafka minhag in halacha? Yeah?
The parent passes away to something.
Beautiful. If the parent, God forbid, passes away, we're in the spouse case for sure not, technically. Do I still have to honor the sibling, or do we say, listen, it's all radiating out from the parents aren't here. Again, don't fight, but no official kibbutz. The fact is, folks, and by the way, so again, where would grandparents fit? And the answer is, we could sort of, maybe, you're going to say from the Gemara in Sota, where should we put the grandparents? In loco parentis, right? Indigenous, right? Maybe. On the other hand, you could say, no, why must you honor grandparents? Because in honoring grandparents, you're honoring parents. So the question will be, is the honoring of the grandparents, again, to use my fancy terms, but they work, indigenous or derivative? And again, what will the nafka mina be? If the parent passes away, right, and the Gemara Sota might play a role there, can the grandchild say to the grandparents, you know, I love you dearly, and I'll honor you because I love you, but I'm not going to honor you because of why? A chiyuv, because the parents passed away, and they're the source of all this honor. Or will the child then say, grandparents are like parents, that's what they call them, grandparents, you know, big parents, you know. That's my father, Zal, was a great-grandfather when he passed away. They called him Big Zaidi, which they then, you know, the great-grandchildren, which they shortened to Big, they called him Big. That was a great cover. They called him Gottel, Big. So, right? It's a big parent. Right? Okay. Now, here's the good news, folks. Who says this basic argument about grandparents? Yes, please. Questions?
Doesn't the Gemara explicitly say that from a Gemara quote, that is five and quote, the step-parents only the chayy of the parents, but doesn't say that by the siblings? Is that a proof that
they're different? Good. Yes. And I'm going to see you, Amarik, and raise you a Rambam in a second. You're right. But you're thinking very well. That's very good. Okay? I told you things come out that are funny. Anyway, that's excellent. Right? In other words, and by the way, so I'm going to push the Marik back to a Rambam in a minute. And where also, just in terms of the Pasuk of Kabedes Avicha, so again, we didn't look at the Gemara, which is unfair of me, because we're trying to, you know, truncate here and get it all fit into the Mizgeret, so you guys can go have your night Seder and do all the things you're supposed to do, which we'll do very, very shortly. Again, it even might be how the things are learned out, right? Kabed es avicha ve'esi mecha. The S's teach the spouses. The V, or at least according to most Rishonim, teaches the siblings. Is that the same limud, or is that a different limud? So your point is, I don't want to underscore your point. Your point is excellent, right? And my Rick already might be an indication one way, right? The good news, folks, is this discussion that we just had happens to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. About the spouses and about the siblings, not about the grandparents. They don't talk about grandparents. Take a look at the Rambam, Hilchos Mamrim, and tell me what you think the Rambam says. I think you already know the answer, but I'll make it sound like a big suspicion in any case. Right? Suspense. Chayev Adam lechabed es eishes aviv. You see where I am? Middle right side. Afa pi she'eino imo, kol zman she'aviv kayam she'zeh bichlal kvod aviv. V'chein lechabed ba'al imo, kol zman she'imo kayemes. These are the spouses. Now here comes the big money line of Alachem Isasa Einal Chayav, and here's the real big money line. Umeidivrei Sofrim Shiyihye Adam Chayav Bichvod Achiv Hagadol Hichvod Aviv. So how does the Rambam hold, folks? Here the Rambam's beautiful writing is pretty clear. even though when you see Divrei Sofim in the Ram, what happens? Neon signs go off, big point, important point. Is it a Derabbanan? No, it's a Derais. It's how you learn the Psukim. But what is the Ram telling you about the two sources, the two other cases of Kibud Av V'Em? Are they the same or are they different? And how do you know? Right? Just the discussion that we've had. Now put it into the words of the Ram. The Ram is pretty clear here. Right? It's, you know, you can detect what the right, you can follow his method here, right? What kind of kavod is there for spouses? That's certainly what I called what? Derivative. Why? Because when the father or mother passes away, that chiyuv ends. But what does the Ram say about the achiyuv hagadol? What does he say? Same or different? Different exactly. Why? Somebody tell me why? Well, because he says, first of all, right, kichvod, right, she ye adam chayv kichvod achiv hagadol kichvod aviv. Very good. That's what I call, the Ram, of course, is a better lashon, in loco parentis. It's like a little father. It's somehow on the same page. And therefore, what does the Ram not say about kvod achiv? Nothing about cancellation after death of the parent, yes? So it's very clear that the Rambam sees the sibling as a parent, as indigenous, less but indigenous, and the spouses as what? Derivative. The Ramban, and we don't have time to read the whole piece, but these are yours to keep, folks, as long as you don't make paper airplanes and throw them at me, it's fine, these are yours to keep, no joke. Hasagas HaRamban to say for Amitzvah, the beginning of Sharish Beis, the Ramban argues mightily that the Rambam's diok is very clever, but ultimately incorrect. And the punchline, if you just read the last two lines here, the punchline said the Ramban's got a couple of interesting proofs, but the most interesting is the methodology of the Gemara here. It says, V'chein nir'eh, just the last line, Shalom nisraba bevov yaseira el ke'en shisraba be'ikar hateva v'im kein hakol chozer el kvod ha'avos. The Ramban basically says here, when it comes to this drasha, if you look at the Rambam, how goes my money is different discussion. Where do you learn here? Where do you learn spouses from? Where do you learn siblings from? The S, it may be different, therefore I can say different things about them. The Ramban says, fine, there are different drashas, but watch the punchline. You can't have things being learned out from this pasuk more than each other. Everything that's being learned out, not the parents themselves, has to be what? On the same plane, on the same level. And therefore, if I'm learning out spouses, and if I'm learning out siblings, the punchline has to be the same. You get this drosha, and you're a big winner. You get the same drosha, same pasuk, you're a smaller winner. Lo yacholiyot. Of course, with the Ram, anything is possible. When he says divrei sofrim, again, we go into overdrive, and that might be the key here, but we're not going to discuss that now. But the Ramban says, dover hashava l'chol nefesh. They're both considered to be derivative. You can't make one bigger than the other because they're essentially being learned out from the same pasuk, and everything that comes out of the pasuk has to be be'oto hamishor. Interesting idea. That's why the Ramban puts it in his Shorish Beis and Sefer HaMitzvos. It's a methodological issue. How do you derive halacha from Torah? And the answer is you have to be very even-keeled. You can't make drashas that's more important than the other drashas. It's coming out from the same pasuk. It's a big discussion, but I think you get the point. So again, the question now is, now, unfortunately, the Ram doesn't talk about grandparents at all. The Ramban doesn't talk about grandparents at all. So we can plug in. Where do we see the grandparents? Do we see them as what? In loco parentis. And therefore they'd be like the siblings, right? And therefore, even if the parent dies, you still have to honor the grandparents. And this is all according to the Ramor's perspective. The Amarek would be saying, leave me alone. The grandparents aren't in the Gemara in Ksubis. We don't want to talk about, right? It's one thing to talk about whether things learned out from the same pasuk are the same. They're not in the pasuk. And the counter answer would be, those are models, right? So the question is, do you put the grandparents into the sibling model? You with me? The indigenous in loco parentis model? Or do you put the grandparents into the spouse argument, right? Like the Ramban does for the siblings, in which case, as long as the parents are alive, there's a chiyuv. If the parents aren't alive, there may be no chiyuv. By the way, not that I just said before, we don't have to worry about stiras and Rashi, but if you work hard, you can perhaps resolve it that the Rashis, which seem to say that the kavod for the parents, for the grandparents, is not here, is because somehow there weren't parents here, and he holds like the Ramban, right? The Rashi in Chumash, right? there's, you know, so you'll tell me, but Avram no longer alive. No, tzaddikim are always alive. The whole Bereishis, they're alive, right? So that's no problem. When it comes to the Gemaras, perhaps Rashi is suggesting, certainly it would work in the Gemara and Sota, that the parent has already died. There's no father there. Anyway, that's just a little tidbit, but I still stand by a real statement. So at the end of now, the sixth inning, right? Again, if you're the Maharik, the discussion is over, right? By the way, the Maharik even says the only ones for whom you have to have covered after life itself are the parents. Nobody gets to that other Madrega. Right? Interesting question, though, between the Ram and the Ramban. If you hold there is a Chiv, right, for grandparents, where would you put them? Would you put them with the siblings? Again, indigenous, or would you put them within local parentis, to use my terms, or would you put it with the grandparents that it's derivative, and therefore, when the father dies, the parent, the mother dies, it's completely off. Yeah, please. Absolutely possible, right? Absolutely possible. In other words, it may be that, you know, I've suggested model A, model B. There may be a model A and a supermodel B, right? For that reason or for other reasons. Let me give you, so I don't have that here now, although we can discuss it, but let me give you another version of this, which I do have here. Now look at the Minchas Chinuch. We're getting to the bottom. We're going to have a little surprise ending, but let's get to the bottom and see. We'll get to the bottom of things. The Minchas Chinuch in Parshas Yisro, on the mitzvah of Kabbalas Avicha, says something interesting here. The Hine after Be'aviv V'imo, Chayav B'chvodom Gam La'acham Osam. Right? Now go the other way here. By parents, you must honor them even after their lifetime. That's the Kaddish, that's the learning, that's the Zechuyos, that's the yard site, that's the mitzvos, and so on and so forth. Right? Mikomakom, he says, Nire Poshut, the Ashes Aviv Imesa, O Bali Moshe Mes, Eino Chayav Bichvodom. Now what he's talking about is, right, let's say the father has remarried a woman, and he's still alive. But what happens? That woman now dies. Right? The father's spouse dies. Would you say there's a chiyuv to honor her after her death? No, because the whole chiyuv is what? Derivative, right? So as long as the person's alive, you honor that person because the father is with us. If the father dies, you don't have to honor the person. But the reverse case, you don't make those people into parents, it's only derivative. Interesting. However, he says, look what he says, you're going to appreciate this now, right? Imesa obal imosha meis eino chayiv bichvodam. Kevon shemesu ein ze eishes ovi velo bal imo. Kibomin is garshu. Again, it's a very difficult statement, but we can understand. You know, not a nice sounding statement, but it's certainly true. It's the same way that if, God forbid, there's a divorce, so those people are not related anymore. If the spouse of the father dies, they're not related anymore. It's as if they got divorced, right? In terms of the chiyuv of kavod, the parent you have to have kavod for no matter what, even after they die. But this other relationship has been severed. Okay, but look at what he says. Achiv hagodol chayiv bichvodo la'achramoso gamke. However, what? For the older brother, right? Since what? Why do you have to honor the brother even after he dies, right? So it can't be because he's exactly a parent, right? Because the parents have that. Mikomakom hu achiv. The answer is the relationship remains, right? In other words, it's still your brother. So even though the chiyuv is less than the parent, but it's still an indigenous chiyuv, what would that mean in terms of grandparents according to the Minchas Chinuch? Where would the Minchas Chinuch put the grandparents? Clearly with the brother. So whether or not you were, you know, whatever side you are on the issue of are grandparents in loco parentis, or are they, derivative, but they're still always grandparents. So you could use this Minchas Chinuch to really ramp the thing up. That's sort of what you're saying the other way, right? In other words, ramp up the chiyuv to the grandparents, not only like the parents, but even la'achachai. And of course, the Maharik is going, no way, because there's no such chiyuv. But if you can put the grandparents in, look how far you can get them. So the Minchas Chinuch would possibly push the grandparents. Again, he doesn't talk about grandparents here, because he doesn't talk about it all in his mitzvah, which is not so good for us. But if we're extrapolating, we can extrapolate to that extent. So, I've got one more bottom of the ninth, which I'll give you in a second, but let's sum it all up. So again, fascinating, I think, in halacha, that the first discussion of this really happens based on the Ramo and the Maharik, right? The Maharik has a very strong but clear opinion. grandparents are not part of the equation. They're not in the Gemara, they're not in the Drasha, they're not part of the equation, right? The Ramah says, we have Ramazim, Rashi, and the Medrash and Chumash uncontested, which will put grandparents into the equation. There are other Rashis, the Gra, and so on. Okay, that has to be considered. But that allows us, that Ramah now allows us, where do we put the grandparents? You can't put the grandparents into their own category. I mean, what category is left? So we're trying to put them into a Mizgeret Hilchatit. We want to put them into a model. We have the spouse model. We have the sibling model. We have the Ram's approach to spouses and siblings. We have the Ramban's approach. If we take the Ram's approach, we can further move the grandparents up the ladder. Right? Now, if we take the Minchas Chinuch's approach, we can really make the grandparents like loco parentis, not only mechayim, but afilo acharchayim of the grandparents. Right? So that whether the parents die or whether the grandparents die, right, there will be a chiyuv here. And if you ask the Kaddish question on that level, what the Ma'arikid asked, you're going to get a completely different answer. A vastly different answer. One more element just to sort of further research, which you're entitled to do, and I'll give you my email, you can write back if you'd like. But learn what you're supposed to learn here first. There are other references to grandparents and grandchildren in terms of what the Chiyuvim are, right? That grandparents have to teach the grandchildren Torah too. By the way, we didn't read through the whole Ma'arik. The Ma'arik says grandparents are an afkamina for one thing, the mitzvah of Piri of Arivia. He doesn't mean it clinically, but it means you've been Mekayim, if you can go more than one generation, you've been Mekayim the mitzvah period of Arivia, and that's the full extent. So is that important? Terrifically important, right? Wonderful. Most important, very important mitzvah. But that's all it goes to. One other aspect here, the last text on the bottom right-hand side, again, I hate to keep talking about Avelis text, but let's look at it. It's a very interesting discussion, the Sefer HaPardes. I had seen this, but of course, Gedolei Yisrael knew about it too. Rabbi Yosef Engel mentions it in his Gilyonei HaShas. He read everything and remembered it all. And Sefer HaPardes is one of the so-called Sifras Debei Rashi. It talks about Rashi and his rebellion. And so they have a whole discussion here in Mainz in the generations before Rashi about a very difficult question. Should grandchildren observe Avelus for their grandparents? The answer seems to be no. But look what happens here. Horer Rabbeinu Shmuel ben Yehuda HaKohen, these are two important people in Mainz in the generation before Rashi. Mishum Aviv, it's even older. Leishiv ba'Avelus l'beit bonim kishiniftar zekeinom. That grandchildren should sit shiva for the grandparents. Wow. Aval zokein lo yeshiv al b'nei bonim, but not the reverse. Shehen chayovim b'chvodo. Right, that would be, you know, that would be too much to ask the Zeta, God forbid, if he has grandchildren who died, to sit shiva for them. The Zehu Ta'amo, but that's a big chiddush. And if the grandchildren are sitting shiva for the Zeta, what does that mean? In terms of kibud savim savot. Va'oreich, big time. Big time. Question is, we don't paskin this way. Don't get nervous. We don't paskin this way at all. We'll see even in this text they don't paskin this way. But that's a very interesting thinking. What are the parameters of Avelis and why? And apparently, I mean, it's hard to imagine that these Chachmei Magensa, who are early Rishonim, wouldn't have thought there's some chiyuv of kibud savim b'savot and then had people sit shiva. So there's something going on here, just not the reverse, right? And they quote this pasuk, tachas avosecha yihyu vanecha, right? Again, that it sort of goes down the line, as we'll see in a second. The Chavei Remeshivim, this is a Gemara in Bava Basra that discussed this pasuk. The Hacha Hahu Bibrocha Ksiv. That pasuk, right? Pasuk of Mishnah, it's not a pasuk of a chiyuv, it's a pasuk of a bracha, right? Again, the generation should mix. Gesund. There's no such chiyuv, but it's an interesting idea. The Od Mitam Acher de Garcina. There's another reason they don't think this is a halacha kolam ablum all of Misabela Imahen. Right? That when it comes to Avelus, there has to be reciprocity. Right? Children mourn for parents. Parents, God forbid, mourn for children, and vice versa. And that's a requirement in Avelus. You can't have a one-way street. And the fact that nobody thinks that the grandparents should sit shiva for the grandchildren means you can't have a one-way Avelus. But it's interesting they even consider this chiyuv. So that's another reason they give Kromer, Avihem shel nechodim isabli isabli nechodim avihem azakeinam. So he wanted to push it further, and his chaver answered him, "Ain halacha kach b'moed katan." Right, there is no chiyuv in moed katan for grand parents to sit for grandchildren, so there can't be a chiyuv the other way. The gam avi Rabbi Yehuda hakohen nochal eden ratzel hoshev is Rabbeinu Meshulam azakeno. There were cases they wanted grandchildren to sit for grandparents. This is in the 11th century, so it shows you there were people who lived a long time, right? It can't just be it wasn't on their mind. Lo hinicha Rabbi Lazar hagodol. Rabbi Lazar hagodol was a Talmud chov Rabbeinu Gershom nochal eden shach hachamin. The Rabbeinu Shmuel ben Yehuda Levi nochal eden kemokin lo hiniach lis abel bnei bonim azakeno. So the halacha here is clear. There is no formal avelus of grandchildren for grandparents, even though in many places when you have a shiva house, what happens? The parents are, God forbid, sitting shiva for their parents, and the children are doing what? They're there a lot, they're helping, but again, there's no chiyuv. They don't sit on the floor, they don't take off their shoes, and so on and so forth. Not a chiyuv. They participate very strongly for their own sakes and for the sake of their parents. But this is a very interesting, what this suggests is, there may be other areas in halacha, which are not as controversial in terms of the result, where we can think about some type of basic chiyuv of kavod of the grandchildren for the grandparents. So even though we don't pass it this way at all, it just means it's clear that these Rishonim thought that what? They certainly thought like that Ramah, they certainly thought like that Rashi, that fundamentally there must be a chiyuv of kibud nechadim for savim v'savot, otherwise what's the havamina? Right? Because again, avelus is, you know, ein lecha kibud av ve'em, well, there is godel mizeh, but ein lecha, you know, chiyuv kol kach mashmauti kaz. That's a very important chiyuv. All right. So, folks, there are many shilas that come up, and in these matters. And since my wonderful friend and colleague Rabbi Haber is here, I'll leave you with him to answer the questions because I got to get. I don't got to get out of town. I got to give the next shiur. But there's a lot to discuss. There's an awful lot to discuss, and I apologize for not giving you, you know, and it's also on the tape here, so that's all I need, for not giving you all the firm halachic conclusions. But I think I've shown you that this is a rather interesting question. And again, we end with the Aruch HaShulchan. Whatever the halacha is here, obviously we have to treat our grandparents with great kavod. So this is not like, up, no kavod, you know, not the way it goes. Chas v'shalom. But what's interesting to think about is how you measure a sort of a new question that comes up, even though it seems to be as old as the hills, and how you try to categorize it up the halacha. Questions or comments, folks? Otherwise, yes, please. By all means.
I just wondered the Rashi on the Gemara
Sota. Right.
Go ahead. To support the Ramah, when we read it, "Ein alai l'chavetcha k'ben," it doesn't say "Ein alai l'chavetcha," but it meaning I don't have to treat you like a parent.
Good.
Good.
Right. So that's the question. No. By the way, I have to think about it, and there may be Achronim who read it that way, so it's good, right? In other words, it's like, it's exactly like the Ramah said. A father is more. Everybody agrees, by the way, kuli amlo pligi. He says it in Mefurish, that what? The child must honor the parent more than the grandparent. If there's a question, who to get, and that's interesting, because you could have, you know, if your Zayd is asking for a glass of water, you might run there first. Technically, you have to run fast, do it at the same time, right? But technically, the parent, the father and mother gets the first call, right? Maybe saying it that way. Again, that's not how most learn it, but I think Yacholiot, good, Yashakalach, right? Because again, from these Rashis, even though, you know, not b'mchilas kvod ha-gra, it's very hard to make, you know, to pull it all down based on that. What the gra is saying is that the ma'arik has more than what the falazachan, right? His best proof is the gemara ksubas. But that's very interesting. Yes, please. Go right in. Somebody else was raising? No? Yes? Yeah, please.
If you have to honor your parents after what, you have to honor the parents' spouse because you have to honor the parents, then why wouldn't honoring the parents' spouse extend even after they pass away?
So the way the Minchas Chinuch says it, it's Pashut, because that's a relationship that happened, and now the relationship has ended. It's not a, right, it's, you know, I don't mean artificial, but it's a finite relationship in that sense. That's one way to say it. The other way to say it is, because it's all derivative honor. You're honoring the spouse because of the parent. The parent wants you to honor them. The parent isn't there, again, the chiyuv is paka. The reason I like the Minchas Chinuch so much is because he's saying it's not just because of what the parent wanted, it's because of the way the relationship is constructed. So it sort of makes even more sense. But either way, yes? It is either because it's derivative or because the relationship has ended. Yes? Please. Oh, so
yeah.
this is the part of the shot I wanted to get out of town for quickly, but anyway, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, so if you hold that the chiyuv of honoring the grandparents is what I'm calling indigenous, so it almost doesn't matter what the parents think, almost. But the other way, it matters, but the question is how you handle it, right? In other words, you're asking a very difficult question. What happens if you have some situation where the parent doesn't want you to honor the derivative, right? For some bar reason. I have a new spouse, don't honor them, right? Very bizarre. L'chora, it doesn't work, but that would be something that will also have to be discussed here. It depends on what the taina is. You know, then can the spouse come back and say, hey, wait a minute, you can't diss me, that's part of the halacha here. Right? You know, you get a lumda shekinah of an argument, right? Or the sibling says, hey, the Rambam puts me in. Right? So it might depend on that, but again, you have to be very careful because this goes into the question, what happens if parents tell you to do something that may not be so simple to do? I don't mean simple, it'll take you time or it'll be, you know, a little challenging, but where al pi halacha, you might not be able to negotiate it. Yeah? Please. Well, that's, you know, what the box said. My father-in-law told me, you know, in other words, so that's a very interesting question. Where this goes in halacha is, right, ishto kegufo, is it a couple? And the answer l'chor is yes, but, right? Yes, but. All right, again, I'm leaving all these things to think about. And I'd like to conclude, folks, by saying, first of all, thank you very much. This is very good. Boy, you're holding cup here. It's 9. Gee, I'm, you know, I just flew in the other day. At least I'm awake, thank God. You guys do great. And this is not the big pitch for Stern College. Dean Bacon will be here. I allow you know, so you'll talk to her. So, what's that? Oh, wonderful. She will have a sec. So this is not the big pitch, except to say the following. If you want to stay here in Israel and learn after this year, Tavo Aleichem Bracha, and I'm sure the Rebbeim and the Hanhola will, if not have you here, they'll find you wonderful places. If, for whatever reason, and I don't want to get into the whole discussion, but if you find yourself coming back to the United States and you're learning here very, at some point in the future, and you're learning here very nicely, and you would like to learn nicely at Stern College, we'd be very happy to have you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hi guys, I don't know, I've met you multiple times, but just again, my name is Ayala. I work for YU, I'm with Rabbi Kanefogel. Can you all hear me? I just wanted to say thank you to the people who submitted pictures to our photo competition. We have over 40 submissions, which is pretty cool. I also want to say thank you to those who came to the blood drive. I've been seeing your faces all over. And finally, I wanted to tell you about our event on Monday night. Sorry for wasting your time, hopefully not too much Beitel Torah. But on Monday night, when you guys don't have tonight's dinner, we're having an event called the Town Hall Meeting, which will be a panel of recent graduates from 4 different areas of study: English, Jewish history, science, and poli-sci. Sorry. Okay, so those are the 4 areas, but all of them are busy in different things, and we're very involved on campus. Dean Bacon will be running the panel. There will be a light dairy buffet. Good thing to do on your night off. I think fun, chill, easy to get to for you guys, so I'd love to see you. We just need some RSVPs. You'll get in an email tomorrow again. Okay. It's at 8:00. All right. What? So there should be a flyer on the bulletin board. Is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That, or you could tell me, or you could reply to the email tomorrow. Great. Okay. Great. Thank you. Good night.
Good girls. Night, Seder.
Couldn't figure out how to shut it up.